You know, we're blessed because, well, for a lot of reasons, but just think for just a second. You know, we have just great musicians, but as accomplished as our musicians are, we really get a chance to worship. And what we get to enjoy and share is we get to share offering to God. And people who come here sense that it's not just people performing up there. And that is a great, great gift. You just can't say enough what a gift that is. I want to look at 2 Timothy for just a minute, chapter 1. That is, if I can flip there and find it again. I want to read a passage, and then I want to do something really different this morning. Hope it doesn't weird you out too much, but we're going to see how it goes. Reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, looking at roughly verse 3. I'll probably have to stop somewhere. I'll stop somewhere in the middle of chapter 1. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. And remember, this is Paul writing to Timothy personally. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now listen to where he launches out, because this is very important. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, yes, it was Paul writing this to Timothy, but he could be saying that to any one of us today, because we need to hear that. We don't lack anything in Jesus. So, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as prisoner, he says, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I've believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. But what I'm going to do this morning, as we hear these words, in just a second I'm going to pray. I'm simply going to introduce you to three people. I'm going to do it via video, because the truth is, none of us are ever going to meet any one of these people. But yet, these are people that you and I are going to be spending eternity with. They're people from very different places in the culture in which we live. I can show you four, because I got four ready, but I'll probably only have time for three. What I want to do is I want to show you the video. These are people being honest and candid, and they're doing the very thing that we just read about. They are sharing something of how God has impacted their lives. What has he done? And believe me, they're from very different places than you and me. But the reality is, as we listen to how God deals with them, I want you to be listening, because God may show you something in their story that he wants to touch in yours. Are you with me? Okay, let's pray. Lord God, we come before you tonight, this morning, pardon me. And it doesn't matter what time of day it is, but we're gathered together as your people. And Lord, as your people, we understand that you have made us to build up one another and encourage one another, and you have created us to carry your message, to live it and to share it. And Lord, in every way, we want to let you speak to us in this time today because, Lord, we understand that each one of us are different. And each one of us have very different needs this morning. And Lord, even though the people that we're going to see on these videos are not with us, Lord, you use them just the same to speak your truth and to touch us to the very core, to remind us that we depend on a God that's faithful, who loves and who cares and makes no respect to what past may be in our lives. And that, Lord, tomorrow we can be with you. We can walk with you and we can please you. And it does not matter where we come from. Lord, I bless you for that. Help us to remember where we came from today as we hear the stories of people that we'll be with forever. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I may spend a minute or two in between the videos. I may ask you a question. I don't know. We'll just kind of see where it goes. I may just ask you, how did God speak to you, or what did God say to you as you listened? And that would be fine, too. So, let's meet some different people who have met Jesus.
So in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to accept Christ in front of everybody right now. Then I'm going to go home and snort drugs until I don't want to do them anymore. And that was my way of thinking. So I received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter and put her in front of the TV. I remember I grabbed a $100 bill. I always used a $100 bill for some reason, pride or something. I chopped up my crystal meth, got it all smooth and powdery, and I snorted a big old line, and I held the bill and I looked up and I said, Jesus, if you're real like that pastor said, then you got to take these drugs from me. Come into my life, come into my heart. And I just got quiet. I said, search me right now, search my heart. And I stayed silent. And I said, you know I want to quit. You know I want to be a good dad for this kid. She lost her mother to drugs. And she's going to lose me if I don't quit. Amen. There's a high when you go on stage and you see all these people like just loving your music and loving you and stuff, and there's these girls and all these people going worshiping me. When you see all those people just going nuts for you, it's like, you know, it puffs you up inside. You're like, you know, I'm important. That's where drugs can creep in, and, you know, cocaine or whatever, methamphetamines crept in, and it all came from after drinking for me and my friends. And it seems like fun in the beginning. It's a lie because it turns around on you. It starts to wear on your personality, starts to wear on your relationships, and everything is affected by it negatively. Everything. There was a few times where life seemed good. My daughter, Janaea, she came into the world, and I was like, it was just such a euphoric feeling. I thought my life could just feel like that forever, you know? It was like it was spiritual. Just, I didn't know what was happening. I just felt so much love just fill my emotions. And I thought I was going to be happy, but I just couldn't stay sober. I didn't know how. I hit rock bottom. I had swore that I would never do methamphetamines again because I saw what it did to my child's mother. It just took her feelings away and made her leave her kid. I just wanted her dead. I wanted to kill her. I thought she was a scum of the earth, and you know, how could she do drugs like that and let the drugs win her like that? So I never was going to do meth again. I ended up with an everyday crippling addiction to methamphetamine, and everything that I said about my ex-wife came true for me. I sunk to the lowest gutter I could ever think of. I would spend time with my kid and I would still be on it because I needed it to function. I'd get up in the morning, have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and snort meth, and then take her to school or whatever. It was just, I was a junkie. I started losing my mind. This guy would show up at my house with like a gun and stuff. And then I ran out in Europe, had my drug dealer
just crazy
send me drugs through the mail. I'd be tweaked out in my hotel room watching this package come from the U.S. It's just nuts. My life just was like spinning out of control. Janaea had come out on one of the tours in the U.S. I just remember her skipping around the house singing one of our corn songs called Adidas.
All day I dream about sex.
And I'm like going, what am I doing? I'm a junkie. My daughter's singing All Day I Dream About Sex. And I'm going to die. Father, my real estate broker Eric, he said, Brian, I don't mean to be weird with you, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I felt the scripture like jump out at me. I've never done this before, you know, so I don't really know how to do this, but I felt like this would mean something to you. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I remember all tweaked out. I looked up in the dictionary, weary. I looked up burdened, and I pulled the scripture apart, and I was like, oh, I'm weary and burdened, and I need rest for my soul. And I didn't know if it was real, but you know, they invited me to church a couple weeks later, and I received Christ. At the church, I went home, neglected my daughter, got it all smooth and powdery. Jesus, you got to take these drugs from me. Search me right now. Search my heart. Father, I felt so much fatherly love from heaven. And it was like, I don't condemn you. I love you. I love you. It was just love, love. And instantly, that love from God came into me. It was so powerful that the next day I threw away all my drugs and I quit corn. I was like, I'm quitting corn and I'm gonna raise my kid, because my kid, like, I got the love from God coming to me, and then it came out of me to my kid. It changed me. My heart was changed like that. And I was like, Janaea, Daddy's gonna be home with you all the time. I'm quitting my career. And her face lit up, and she's like, for me? You know, she felt so special. And God used her to save me, to save her life later on. My dream came true way more than I dreamt about. I made more money. I played bigger shows. I mean, houses, cars. I tried drugs, I tried sex, I tried everything to try to get pleasure out of this life. And I thought that I could fulfill my life with all this stuff by having my dream come true, and it came true. But it didn't fulfill it. When Christ came in, that feeling, he gives you the gift of understanding life, which is everything was created for Christ and by him. And we're created to be with him. And it's the most incredible feeling, because you're where you belong. And contentment is given to you in life because you don't have to look anywhere else. And you're exactly where you need to be. And the question about life is answered. I'm Brian Head Welch, and I'm second.
I don't know if you ever heard anything by this guy. I don't know that I have. But there's a power in what he's experienced. Well, how did this hit you? Any places where you feel like something in his experience is important to you? Hope? Hope. What, I'm sorry? I don't know. Well, I don't mind saying yes as long as we don't let that deflect it from us. No, and I'm not disagreeing with you, Steph. I'm just... I mean, he... Yes, contentment is a great lesson from this. I agree. We are to be content in Jesus. Yeah, Joel said, you reminded him of Hebrews where it says that we are to enter into rest. That was the thing that the people of God, we enter into rest. Julie, were you going to share something? How many real estate agents do you think that guy hangs out with? I mean, you think about it, you know. It may have been, you know, this is the only real estate agent this guy's ever going to see. You know, I don't know. But God used that real estate agent. So for you. He had everything, and he even started out with people worshipped him. Yes. Gain the world but lose your own soul. Yes, Leslie. I do want to acknowledge that this was not a simple thing. This was a wrestling. You kind of get it, you know, it was like a round one, a round two, a round three between He and the Holy Spirit. Okay, didn't happen all, you know, boom, here it goes all at one time. There was a process that he had to go through, a lot like Jacob wrestling with the angel in the Old Testament. You see that in his life. There was a great punctuation on the fact that it is surrender that gives you freedom. A lot of times, the way this spoke to me in a big way was, you know, I'll just project it on all of you, forgive me, but we feel like we have to be somehow in control of how God does what He does. And what He demonstrated was He came to a point where he acknowledged, I'm not doing it right. I don't have a clue. I'm powerless. I need help. And that's where the Father love he experienced came to him. He was able to be washed over with the love of God because he was to a point where he realized he didn't really know how to live. Yes. It was a surrender. Stephen. Go ahead, Stephen. Go ahead. See each other with the eyes of Christ. Okay? Looking through the external. Stephanie. A rough group. Yep. God can affect change. You know, evil can be obliterated. Audrey, works both ways, doesn't it? That's why we've got to make sure we look at heart instead of the external. Because external can be very deceiving. Yeah, no prerequisite. Terry? He became the very thing that he hated. Yes. And how many times have you heard that happening in a family where there's some type of dependency issue? Where a child will see their parent and they hate the way their parents were, and then they grow up and they can't break the cycle at that point. Don't have the resources to do that. Okay, a little different, let's kind of back off the gas for a second. We're going to meet somebody different, another musician, but somebody that's a little different in terms of where you may have seen them or heard of them. So let's see how this one goes.
This is a story. Are you ready for a story? It was 80s week, and I was having a hard time finding songs. 80s songs weren't good for me. A secret chord that David played. And I knew it'd be so different than anything anybody was doing, just because, well, I don't know, it's not, you know, it's not your pop 100 or anything. Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift, and the baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah. It makes you think, and, you know, it makes you feel. And because I mean, even just that word hallelujah, it's a special word, and it's a word reserved for God. And to be able to, you know, say that on a stage in front of millions of people, you know, to praise my King, I got real excited about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Music has that power to calm, or that power to move, or that power to just give you emotions of any kind. What's behind it? What's the heart behind it? And that's where I've given my heart to Christ, and I think that comes through. And sometimes people don't know what it is, you know, they're like, what is it? You know, people are drawn to it, but they don't know, but it's there behind the music. There's something bigger. There's always something bigger behind whatever you're doing. I was born into a Christian family, and my dad had his master's in theology, and I accepted Christ as a child, but it was an empty claim. I just kind of did it because my little brother did it before me. So it wasn't until about probably my sophomore year of high school my parents signed me up for church camp. I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay with my girlfriend that I wasn't supposed to have, but I went that summer and kind of had. It was the first time that I really felt moved by God, and I remember the Dave Crowder Band was there, and it originally was through the music just got to me in a way that it never had, and just the songs we were singing were just really moving to me, and then I just was more intrigued by the messages in our small time, and, you know, that's when my love for God really grew, and that's when I really dedicated my life to the teachings of Jesus. You know, I just don't even see a reason to live if it's just us. And, you know, so through getting to know God, I have purpose. And, you know, every day it's another chance to get closer to that goal. And I think all of life is just about getting to know God and getting to know what He likes and what He doesn't like and, you know, how we should be. And in the end, we'll be made perfect when we die. And we'll go on forever. I came to a peace with myself that I'm working for God's glory doesn't necessarily mean singing worship songs, you know. I think God puts things on your heart, and there's times in your life what you're going through that's what you sing about, things that are worthy of praise, things like love and such. But, I don't know, I just want to write some good music. American Idol, they asked us to, you know, sum up our life goals, and I said I wanted to be a loving father and a faithful husband and a servant of all, and I very much want to be those things. Those are the biggest things in my life, all things that honor God, but I think the servant of all, that's the main one, and I think that's what Jesus came to be, and I think that's what we're called to be, and it's to give our life for God, to give our life for those around us, to give our life, you know, for the good fight, and that's what I'm here to do. My name is Jason Castro, and I am second.
Now, do you remember where maybe you saw him? Okay, he was on American Idol. And the thing that he began his interview with was when they did 80s Week, he chose the Hallelujah song to sing on stage during American Idol. So that's Jason Castro. Yeah, Castro. Anyway, you know, I remember seeing him on Idol, and I saw this long after that, when I happened to come across this video. So what spoke to you here? Little different from Brian Head Welch, huh? Don't have to hit rock bottom to come to Christ. Always something bigger going on behind. Anything else? Come to Christ the same way, right? Same power. Isn't it funny how, you know, for him, God gets through his radar through the music, because that's what he has a passion for. Okay, and he, you know, those of you who've been to the youth camp stuff and everything, it was David Crowder is who he said got kind of softened him up. And then when he got into the small groups and whatever camp he was at, that was where he was able to hear. But it was God using what was important to him, speaking to him in a language he could get. That made a difference in his life. To come to know Christ is like coming to know anybody else. Sometimes you get to know them better at certain points, but the reality is it's never just one point where you get to know somebody. I can't sit down with somebody for 2 hours and know them completely. It won't happen. I can get to know them much better than I knew them, and that could change my life, but it's not done yet unless I keep having time with that person. Will I really ever come to know them? Hope that analogy works for you. I don't know why I want to say this now, but I'm going to. I believe that God wants us to find joy in whatever we do, and that if we will find joy in what we're doing, then other people will find that contagious, because that's where God meets other people. If no one wants to hang around with a sourpuss or somebody who's negative all the time and wants to spit on everything, but people who see you doing what you do with joy, they'll be drawn to that. Even if they don't have anything to do with what you're doing, they'll see the joy. Okay, we got another one I want to show you. I don't know what time we've got, John. How much time do I have? Okay, we're good. Jason, you'll like this one. We're going to meet another person. This one's not a musician, I promise, okay? But somebody you probably saw just a week or two ago. If you watch TV,
the world. You know, drugs and alcohol. You know, I never used one without the other. The drugs were the closest thing for that adrenaline rush for me of throwing somebody out. You know, the ball's hit, you get under it, the crowd's starting to build, the guy's tagging, the whole play is being created in front of you. And then when he's out and the roar of the crowd and that adrenaline rush you get. When baseball wasn't there, that's what that did for me. And that's what got me addicted so quickly. Growing up, I was really good at sports. You know, that's all I ever wanted to do. And that's all my life focused around was playing and being a part of a team. I got drafted after high school to play professional baseball. Did really well. And yeah, I had more money than I'd ever wanted to have. You know, my parents were there watching me play. It was a dream come true for me. So me and my parents, on the way home from a spring training game, got in a car accident. A dump truck ran a red light as we were turning left and plowed into us. The two things I really knew in life, baseball and my parents, were taken away from me at the same time. So I had to find somewhere I could turn where I felt comfortable. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but I got tattoos. I started getting tattoos and hanging out at, you know, the parlor all day. And the people there, they were good people. They just made bad choices. That's where I was introduced to my first drug and my first drink. I went down a path of destruction. You know, I actually got suspended from baseball. And it wasn't because of anybody else. It was because of the way I was living, the choices I was making. Everything in my life up until this point, I could do them all. I didn't need help from anybody. I was good at everything. And this, the drugs and the alcohol, I couldn't stop doing it. And I wanted to do more. And it was chaos. You know, there was this guy in a suit, dark suit, and, you know, I was fighting him. And, you know, I know it was the devil, because I was fighting him and beating him and knocking him down, and he just had this cold smirk on his face, and he just kept getting up and coming after me. And, you know, I was to the point where I was worn out, and I couldn't fight anymore, and I woke up. It scared me so bad that I got up out of my bed, went across the hallway to my grandmother's room, knocked on the door. I said, "Grandma?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I had a bad dream." And I said, can I sleep with you?" That's a 25-year-old man asking if he can get into bed with his grandmother. And you know, she welcomed me in. And the next night, I asked God. I said, "I need help. I said, I've been trying to do this so long that I can't do it anymore. I can't try anymore. I said, because I fail on my own. You do with me what you want to do with me. But I surrender." And I noticed the Bible at the end of the bed, and I started just looking through it, and the verse that caught my eye is James 4:7. It says, "Humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." And that's exactly what I did. Within 6 months, I had the same exact dream again. You know, I was knocking him down and beating him and hitting him, and he stood up and he just looked at me. And I looked to my side, and I didn't see Jesus, but I knew he was standing beside me, because we started chasing the devil. And I never woke up feeling more calm and at peace than I ever had. I'm Josh Hamilton, and I am Second.
I know in some sense there's some similarities between the first and the last one there. And certainly I think if you followed anything of Josh Hamilton's story, you know that, you know, it's never easy to protect your, you know, your choices and your sobriety. He still struggled with that here and there. But I think that if you were to sit down and talk with him, like we just sort of did, that you get the sense that he's winning more often than he's losing. Anything else that seeing Josh's story that has struck you that we need to learn from? I think that's what we see. I think that's what we see when we look at many people. But we don't see what's going on in them, nor do we see what God's doing around them. I think I think that many people do have that. It's just that at this point in their lives, there have been a lot of lies built up. Certainly the world, the flesh, and the devil are not cooperating in the endeavor. Okay, so between that and the lies that all those, you know, come from all those different directions. You know, there's a lot of people that, just watching Hawaii 5-0 the other day. Listening to Dano. Dano can't believe in anything, okay? And it was, you know, it was kind of funny watching that episode. But he had all the objections of somebody who just wanted to avoid the situation altogether. It's all hocus pocus. It's all People believe what they want to believe in order to get by. Well, that works until somebody's life's been changed and it had nothing to do with them. Because then you have to acknowledge there is a power of God. When someone is literally healed, or when someone's life entirely changes, like Brian Head Welch, you can say all you want to that it was his willpower that did it, but the thing is, his willpower didn't work until then. So there was something else. Someone else interceded there. And you can't get around that. And that's what some people are not willing to entertain yet. Now, our job is to love them, be patient with them, and keep being the hands and feet of Jesus till the day that we may be the real estate agent that invites them to a life group or talks to them about what change in life Jesus has brought to you or me. And that may be the time. So the wonder of prevenient grace. You all know what that is, what prevenient grace means? Prevenient grace, God pulling your fat out of the fire before you know Him. Okay? Keeping you alive when you made stupid choices. Or keeping you from being in trouble whenever you deserve to be in trouble. Okay? God using that to try to get your attention. It's everything God does to get your attention before you know Him. God is speaking. God is speaking. Are we listening? Okay. Well, this was a little different. I know. We haven't ever done this before, but around here that doesn't bother us too much. Hopefully, this has encouraged you and inspired you some. I think that for me, I'll tell you what hit me was when we were singing the first song we sang this morning. What was that, Kenny? Blessed be your name. That as people who follow Jesus, one of the most important things we can do is live that song. That whenever God blesses us with abundance and great gift, that we acknowledge that, and that we acknowledge God just as much whenever He sees fit to move that somewhere else. And when we are hurting and when we're needy, And that's an area that He's still challenging me at, okay? Because there's days where that's hard for me to do, okay? When I don't have, or I hurt, or I'm hurting over something that I need to be just as strong in my praise of God and acknowledging God. He is still God. He's still in charge. And I think we saw some of that in the lives of these people. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all that it should be. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. So there's pain in the offering. Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to tell you that we are glad you work in our lives the way you do. And Lord, I'm thankful for the testimonies of the three people that we got a chance to see today. And Lord, the reality is you call us to share in boldness the same kinds of things that go on in our lives. Lord, we're praying that we will see how you're working in people's lives, those people that seemingly don't want you. Lord, I'm praying that you will allow us to speak as little as we need to and love as much as we can. That, Lord, they will know you and the change that you have for their lives. The freedom, the joy, and the peace. Lord, I'm asking you to do that in them. And Lord, I'm asking you to empower, embolden, and encourage us. Lord, the same humility that I think that I saw in each one of those folks today, Lord, I want to have that kind of humility. There but for the grace of God. But I do have the grace of God. We have the grace of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.